Welcome to the Brighton Book Club, a monthly show about books and writing in Brighton and beyond. I am coming to you from the Radio Reverb studio today, which is very exciting on our favourite day of the year, the Reverbathon. It is April the 27th, 2024, and this is our annual fundraiser, which helps keep Brighton's favourite radio station independent and ad-free. If you like what you hear today, please do donate to keep the Brighton Book Club on the airways. It takes a couple of seconds. And remember to give us a shout out and we will thank you on the next show. You can do that at the Radio Reverb website, radioreverb.com, and go on the Brighton Book Club page. Every show gives me the chance to create a platform for writers and creatives in Brighton and the wider area, and I am delighted to be supported on this show by some absolutely wonderful sponsors. Today on the show, we speak to the powerhouse that is Jenny Lewin Turner about her work in the city as part of Brighton Fringe, as well to Marissa Macondo-Wills. We talk to Tamarin McKinley and Joe Furness from the Hove Writers Group, and to Victoria Robson and Cindy Etherton from the Real Writers Circle. We will be joined by Jenny and Marissa after this song, Composure, by Eliza Legsdenay.
You're like a street light on the darkest path, holding me too tight. You make me laugh when I am mad. I cannot decide if you are good or make me bad. I know I want you. You've been the best I ever had. What do you take me for? Your hands on me and now it's us. And we're on the floor, but that's just in my head.
That was Eliza Legsdenay with Composure. You can find Eliza on Instagram at Legsdina, L-E-G-Z-D-I-N-A. I am really excited about our guests in the studio today. Jenny Lewin Turner is an absolute powerhouse in Brighton, and Marissa Macondo-Wills, one of my oldest friends and an absolutely incredible musician. They have been sent here by the Brighton Fringe, who have sponsored part of today's show, and I'm really looking forward to talking to them about the work they do in the city and as part of Brighton Fringe. We'll start with you, Jenny. Welcome to the Brighton Book Club.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Can you talk a little bit about the work that you're doing in the Fringe this year?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, this year I'm returning with it's a mini festival within the festival. It's called Culture Connect. And it's a season of a really mixed bag of events. We've got performances, exhibitions, networking events, workshops and screenings. And we are going to be also having kind of like a TEDx unconference couple of days as well.
That is absolutely wonderful. So you do quite a lot of work like beyond the fringe in Brighton and the city. Can you talk a little bit about that, about things that we might not have heard?
Well, I operate as a freelance creative producer, which kind of is a really mixed bag of things that I do. I work mainly internationally, actually. I do work with a lot of artists in the city, lots of different agencies in the city. But my work is really involved in creating platforms for artists to do what they do. That could be with supporting with fundraising, with finding spaces to show their work, finding opportunities to platform and showcase their work. So, yeah, helping artists to do what they do.
Thank you so much. And Marissa, welcome to the Brighton Book Club.
Thank you, Anna.
So you are a born and bred Brightonian. Yes. And you are doing some work in the Fringe this year. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I will be playing a headline show on the 2nd of June. And it's going to be a very big production. It's a full live band. There's going to be dancers. There's going to be a lot of crowd interaction, traditional Southern African instruments. And yeah, it's a very big show. And I've been working on it for about a year now. The first time I really performed the show as it is or kind of with as it started was in Pace last year, the Pan-African Creative Exchange in Brighton, which was organised by Jenny. And, it's going to be a big show. I did one recently and it went down a storm. So it's just going to get bigger and bigger from there. And it's it's a show that encompasses my music from almost the beginning of my career properly. Music that I've been releasing since around 2015-16, some that's been written before that, up until very recently. And so there's a mix of very jazzy, soulful, poetry kind of songs, and then into the traditional Southern African stuff. Marimba playing, mbira playing, which is thumb piano and xylophone for those who don't know, and other things, mouth bow. I won't say too much, but there's a lot. There's a lot.
So one question that I often ask writers who come on here is, what is it like to be a creative person and a person who kind of brings people together and you know, leaves things behind in the world creatively in Brighton? Jenny, what is your experience of that in the city?
Well, kind of, Marissi, first of all, has kind of undersold himself. It's an amazing show. he kind of previewed it last year, and it did go down a real storm. And he was part of a bigger show this time. Marissi's closing the season. He is the, you know, he is the headliner of the closing season. But also, Marissi kind of epitomises the work that I do and what I'm about. We are both from mixed cultures. Marissi and I have been on a journey, a physical and a, you know, creative journey. I took Marissi with me to South Africa five, six years ago, and I've just seen him just blossom from there. But just that platforming, getting in touch with different international producers, different international artists, and also creating opportunities right here in the city. Because I think, you know, I think it's really important that we do have exposure to other cultures, and we kind of collaborate and work with, you know, all the different creatives in, you know, right here. There's so many of us in the city, but there's not enough collaboration, I don't think.
Absolutely. What specific events should we keep our eyes open for during
the fringe? Wow, there's a whole list of events, and I wish I could name check everyone. We've got some real, our headliners, I guess, aside from Marissi, we've got Josette Bushell Mbingo, who is just an amazing artist, Michael McMillan, Vanley Burke, Michelle DaCosta, who was the film producer behind the Biggie and Tupac film, Kathy Hazan. We've got an author coming, an award-winning author, Moses McKenzie, who your listeners might be interested in. And we've got some professors. We've got Aflo the poet, who's an academic as well as a spoken word, amazing spoken word artist. So there's a lot to choose from. But if you go on the Brighton Fringe website, there is actually, when you're looking at the what's on, there is a section all about Culture Connects, and it has the full list of 20 going on 21 programs that we've got on for this year.
Thank you so much. That's great. I'm so excited about the Fringe this year. It is the absolute best time to be in Brighton. So thank you again to the Fringe for supporting the show today. If you want to support the Brighton Book Club, you can donate at radioreverb.com. Just click on the book club page. And if you are interested in sponsoring a whole show, you can get in touch via the Radio Reverb website. So I'd love to know what inspired both of you. So we often ask writers what books have inspired them, but if it's not necessarily books, if it's music, if it's film, or if it's people that have inspired your creativity, Marissi, I'll start with you.
In terms of books, I tend to read out of necessity. So when I was at my last job, a job a long time ago, I used to do call center, so I read a lot at that time. And then when I was young, but I do read. I'd say, when I was really young, there's a few authors. There's one, a fictional author called Darren Shan, who's an Australian guy who made vampire books, funnily enough. I was really into comics before, and his books were kind of about adolescence and young men, but it was all under the framework of vampires, but not your typical vampire story. Moving on, there's an amazing West Indian author called Rosa Ghee, who wrote about her experiences as an immigrant coming from, I think, Trinidad into America, and her books were amazing, very easy to read. There were a few different, but the themes were always about the kind of the cultural difference between Trinidad and the US, and there was a really good book. They were amazing books, really well-written, beautiful books. So she was one of my favourite authors. I went through all of her books as a kid. They really grabbed me. And then as I got older, I got really into Greek classic literature. So like the Odyssey and other things like them. Those kind of that, books from that time. Chinua Achebe is a great author. Things Fall Apart, that's an amazing book. That was a really eye-opening book for me. The Malcolm X autobiography that was written by Alex Haley, I believe. That was a great book. That was revolution. Well, I mean, not that I wasn't already, but when I was 17, that book really revolutionized me. My mum, Jackie Wills, great poet. Her books have inspired me as well. I would say in terms of reading, they're the kind of things that have inspired me and that I've drawn from. Originally I loved comic books, and I would say that comic books are also a great source of reading and information because they're also inspiring and they tend to cover a lot of topics that maybe aren't covered. There's an old Hulk comic from the 70s that. That addressed racism in a very interesting way. The words that are in the comic, you couldn't publish them now, but it was very interesting how they tackled racism in that way. Rosa Gee, Chinua Achebe, the Malcolm X autobiography. I would say those are three very, very, very groundbreaking books for me.
Thank you so much. How about you, Jenny?
Not so much a book reader. Reason, very, very good reason why. I'm a very late diagnosed ADHD, neurodiverse person. So reading books, physical books, wasn't my forte. But I kind of learn and take in information visually and through listening. So that's why I think artists inspired me so much. I was really sort of happy. Films also inspired me. I was really happy to kind of listen and watch and just take note of people expressing their kind of their worlds to us and just getting absorbed in that way. But I, I'm also part of Creative Future, and obviously Dorothy Coombson is a local author. There's many local authors here, obviously, but is a great inspiration. I love books that are when they recreated, in film or for television series. It's the way I just absorb and get really deeply involved in the stories.
Thank you so much, Jenny and Marissa, for joining us. And you can find all the events that they are both involved with on the Brighton Fringe website. Thank you again to Brighton Fringe for supporting the Brighton Book Club. So leading in to Borders by Marissa, do you want to intro your song?
Yeah, this is Borders. It's a song about migration and the plight of migration. It's written by me and performed by me and my live band, which you'll be seeing on the 2nd of June. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you so much. You are listening to the Brighton Book Club on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is our very special Reverbathon show. We have a wonderful list of sponsors who are coming in to talk about the work that they are doing on creative projects in Brighton and beyond. And I'm delighted to be joined by Tam and Joe from Hove Writers Group to talk about the work that they do. Welcome to the Brighton Book Club.
Hi.
Hi, thank you.
So, Joe, can you introduce yourself as an author, please, and talk a bit about the founding of the group?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a Brighton-based author. I write crime novels. I've published three psychological thrillers before, and my next one is coming out in the summer. It's a murder mystery set on a motorway, in a gridlock on a motorway. It's called Deb Mile. So that's me. And I sort of started the group, it's coming up to 3 years ago now, because I was quite newly arrived in Brighton. I kind of arrived all around that COVID time. I was desperate to be part of a writer's group, but I couldn't find the right one on the right day in the right place. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, then I'll make it. I'll start one. And I just sort of started it, and I built it, and they came, as they say. So yeah, it's been really popular. And then because I was coming up to this year, and I knew that I was going to be quite busy with the new book coming out, I had to kind of take a little bit of a step back. I just couldn't commit to being there every Monday, because we meet every Monday night. And I sort of asked if anyone else in the group would be willing to sort of, you know, take on some of it. And luckily a few hands went up, including Tam, who has brought amazing new energy to it. So it's brilliant.
Amazing, Tam. It's great to meet you. Can you tell us a bit about your books and how you're enjoying yourself working at Hove Writers Group?
Oh, I love Hove Writers Group. It's the most supportive community. You know, no human is an island, and certainly no creative person is an island. So it's just absolutely wonderful to have other writers who help you to take yourself seriously. I'm working on my first novel, which is a speculative fiction about some AI-enabled birds and a crazy tech billionaire.
Wow, that sounds a little bit too close to home. So I would love to know what events the Hove Writers Group have got coming up this summer, and the kind of structure of the group and how you came to create that, Jo.
Yeah, well, like I say, I wanted to meet very regularly, because I do believe, you know, as a writer and as a sort of a professional writer, as it is, that you need to write little and often and frequently. Mm-hmm. And I find that if I drop out of my project, if I put it aside for any length of time, I almost lose confidence in it. Like my little inner voice kicks in and starts saying, oh, it's probably a bit rubbish. Maybe you just want to do something else. So I think it's really important just to write regularly. So I thought if we meet every Monday, that's a good thing. And for a lot of people, it's the only time that they write in the week, because maybe they've got a job, they're working, they've got family, all the rest of it. So it kind of carves that little bit of time out. And so we do different things during the month. We tend to have a lot of guests. You've been a guest for us before, mm-hmm. Anna.
Great tasting guest.
I know, I do. Yeah, only the best. And we do sort of sharing sessions and workshops. I've run loads and loads of workshops. But we have other things coming up. Like I say, there's been quite a new fresh energy with Tam and the others taking over. So you have some great guests coming up, don't you?
We do. We have Catherine Bradley coming soon to talk about her new book, which is called The Sisterhood, which is a feminist retelling of 1984, which I'm super excited about. And as well as our regular events, we have open mics, we do workshops, we have our sharing session where we look at each other's work, and then we have social events throughout the year.
Amazing. Thank you again so much for supporting the Brighton Book Club. It is, it is people like you that keep us on air and being able to feature wonderful authors and their projects. So one question that I really like to ask my guests is, what books have inspired and influenced you? Tam, what books have really inspired you creatively?
So the first one I'd have to say is Orlando, mm-hmm. of course, and Giovanni's Room by James Baldwin, and more recently, A Little Life by Yanya Hanegohara, which makes me sound really depressing. I am quite a cheerful person, but those books have inspired me.
And how about you, Jo?
That's so funny, because I can really see those influences in your writing. You know, I've read your early chapters, and you can, when you hear someone describe their influences, and then you think, oh, I can see them in Tam's work. So that's really nice. I struggle with this question because there's just so many. I suppose the author that came to mind immediately is Ian Banks, which is going back a way, but I really admired the way he had a career where every book was different. You didn't quite know what it was going to be, but you knew it was going to be uniquely Ian Banks. It was going to be his voice, and I just trusted him as an author, and that was one of those writers I would go and buy his book on publication day and sit straight down with it, and I would love to have that sort of career if I could.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask how we can find and follow you with your projects and how people can get involved in the Hove Writers Group. Tam?
Well, the best is really just to look up the website. It's hovewritinggroup.com. Send us an email as well. Our email address is there, all the contacts. We're not really on social media. We have new members events, welcome sessions, every 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. So people can get put on the list and then they can come and meet us in person.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So you have chosen the next song, Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush. Can you tell us why?
Well, it was partly for Tam, because she said that she was a big Kate Bush fan, so I kind of zeroed in. I think it just reminds me of all that wonderful Victorian literature that I read. I also admire the fact that she wrote this song when she was like 19 or something like that. She's an amazing lyricist, so I think this is a great song for writers.
Happy Reverbathon! And this is a very special episode of the Brighton Book Club, and I am delighted to be joined by our final guest and sponsors, Cindy and Victoria from the Real Writers Circle in Brighton. Welcome to the Brighton Book Club.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you so much for your support. And if you are listening to this and you are enjoying what you hear, or you have enjoyed the Brighton Book Club over the last 5 years that we've been recording, please do consider donating at radioreverb.com. Every penny helps keep us on air and ad free. So let's come to our guests. Cindy, can you introduce yourself, please, and tell us about the Real Writers Circle?
Okay, I'm Cindy Etherton. I'm a memoirist and novelist. My professional background was in business. I'm relieved to say that now I'm a full-time writer and the co-founder of Real Writers Circle.
And why did you decide to start the Real Writers Circle, Victoria? What was it that that prompted that idea?
So I'm a journalist and a writer and am working on my second novel. And Cindy and I have both been to lots of writing groups, courses, workshops and events, which have been absolutely brilliant and really helpful in our writing journey. But we wanted to do something different where we actively connect writers. So we have this really strong belief that writers who know other writers can help each other and get more done. So we set up the circle to do exactly that. So we hold monthly meetings where writers come together, chat, get to know each other in a facilitated exercise, share work, talk and learn something from each other on a specific topic.
I have been to the Real Writers Circle meetings many times and can vouch that they are some of my absolute favourite writing events in the city. They're really dynamic. They're always full of really interesting people. And you have an event coming up as part of the Brighton Festival. Can I hear more about it?
Okay, yes. Well, that kind of came, that idea came in one afternoon. Members of the circle, we're always very concerned with the work and how that's getting out publication. And we found out that one of the members was about to publish in May. So we, Victoria and I, had a chat about it. How can we support that writer? They're a debut author. We also had connections with Brighton Festival. And we went to see them the next day and said, we have an idea. We would really like to bring readers to our writers. The readers would come to see the writers, but also the writers come to see the readers. And that's how the idea was born. We were rather surprised because we were hoping for a small venue with about 50. And actually, they liked the idea so much that they've offered us the studio, which is 200-seater. So that's how that happened.
Wow. And when is it?
It's on May the 17th. Mm-hmm. It is in the Studio Theatre, which is the refurbished part of the Dome and the Corn Exchange. It's absolutely beautiful. And it'll be 8 p.m. till 9:30, Friday night, and that's our special event. So it's connecting with wonder. The theme of the festival this year is wonder, hope, magic. And it was really to do with that identification with the theme that brought the idea about.
It's so exciting. Victoria, I'd love to know how being part of the Real Writers Circle and a founder of it has really helped you creatively, because I know that you've finished projects since starting the Real Writers Circle.
So I am about to self-publish a romance under the name Cassie Bruce. And being part of the circle has actually been incredibly transformative. I've met other writers, I've had support with my writing, I found someone to do the cover for my book through the circle, I've had practice talking in public. All these really useful tools and experiences have come from connecting with a community of writers in Brighton. It's been pretty amazing.
And how about you, Cindy? How has the circle helped you progress in your writing?
Oh, Anna, that's such a question. I think I'm going to be a lifelong learner from a writing point of view. And I think every single week since we've had the circle, convened the circle, there's been learning from it. It's a wonder. There's something magical in there. You could describe what we do, but underlyingly, there's something else that just happens that benefits all the members. It's brilliant.
It is a very special, and it feels like a very kind of fertile space for creativity. What would you say is the kind of biggest thing that you've learned from the circle that has been one of those light bulb moments and you've thought, oh my gosh, yes, that's it?
I think it's that writers need to be introduced to other writers, and that we make a big effort to facilitate that through a connecting exercise. So you don't just go and sit in the room and watch somebody talk. You are actively encouraged to engage with other writers. And through that, real bonds of friendship, companionship, support and encouragement form. And then it's more productive. And we give each other support on our writing journey. So that's been the really key thing. Writers knowing writers is actually really helpful for your writing.
Yeah, there's that saying, isn't there, about it takes a village to bring up a child. Well, we think it takes a circle to bring up a writer. And we're well brought up in terms of what we do. We also actually, Victoria and I, are very interested in studying why it works so well. And we've got two ideas that we're going to particularly aim the study at. And that is that when facilitated in a certain way, when you encourage connection, that those groups get a lot more done. As you know, it's a sort of free entry as well. And when you don't charge people, you get so much more generosity in the group. So we're interested in putting some study behind that to prove the science that's making the circle work.
That is absolutely fascinating. So obviously this is the Brighton Book Club and we love to talk about books. So I'd really like to know what a book that you've read recently that you've really loved is, Victoria.
So as I said, I'm about to self-publish a romance and my romance hero is Emily Henry.
I absolutely
love her. I'm so looking forward to her next book. I think it's out. Funny story. I think it's out this month. I finished Happy Place a couple of months ago, I think, and Book Lovers before that. And she does this amazing thing of writing so beautifully, so engaging. It's funny, her characters are fully rounded, and yet she hits all the romance tropes. They're just really enjoyable, good reads. So that would be my book, or the three of them, but maybe of them, Book Lovers is the one that I've loved the most.
It is particularly lovely. Yes, I came late-ish to Emily Henry and read everything she'd ever written in about 3 months and just thought, God, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, she's an incredible writer.
And how about you, Cindy? What have you read recently? I know you're a voracious reader.
Yeah, I'm really engaged with the book that I'm reading at the moment. It's called How to Say Babylon. It was recommended to me by a Circle member, Donya Scott. I bought it from a Frewery bookshop and it's written by Safria Sinclair. And it's set in Jamaica, and she is the daughter of a Rastafarian family. My lifelong best friend is Barbadian. I've never actually made it to Jamaica, but I've been to Barbados many times. But the insights and the experience is just life-changing. I mean, I'm really loving that book. I spoke to Afuri about it because I couldn't find it. I couldn't remember the name properly, and they helped me find it. It's a brilliant book.
Thank you so much, both of you, for your continued support of the Brighton Book Club. If you like what you are hearing, you can donate to keep the Brighton Book Club on air and ad-free at radioreverb.com. Just find the Brighton Book Club page and you will get a big fat shout out on our next show. But I would love to hear what you have coming up in the circle in the next few months, Victoria.
So our next meeting is on April the 30th. So we always meet the last Tuesday of the month. And you can find out about our meetings on Eventbrite. And we're going to be talking about non-traditional ways of publishing. So we've got a variety of writers in the circle, from unpublished to published many times, and people who publish in all different ways. So we're going to have a session to delve into that and to look at different ways to get your work out into the world.
Absolutely. There are so many ways to do it now. It's actually a really exciting time to be a writer, I think, that the stigma of self-publishing is kind of really changing and it's becoming something that's really empowering. There are some really exciting indie presses. Like, yes, absolutely. That is going to be wonderful and a must-go-to event for anyone looking at publishing themselves. So then you have your event in May.
Yes, May the 17th. And that, yes, we're doing a lot of work towards that at the moment, working with Brighton Festival on it. We've also got a second event going to happen at the Dome in June. So we talked already about May, but we've got quite a busy June. For Real Writer Circle, you've got the short story thing happening at the end of the month.
Yes, Naomi Wood, who is the winner of the BBC National Short Story Award. She is going to make the trek from Norwich down to Brighton to talk to us about what makes a successful short story. So that's our June event.
And at the, again in the Studio Theatre, we are we're in collaboration with Brighton Festival, and also a project called the IDA Project, Victoria and Real Writer Circle. We're running another event. And it's aimed at women over 60. And there's a question that's been put to them. And that question is this what you expected? That's already produced one book. And our session, our event, is going to produce their second book. They're three founders of that movement, the IDA Project, very well known in creative circles. And they came to us and asked us, would we work with them and help them get this to the next stage? So we're doing that in June 4th.
That is amazing. And you guys are going absolutely from strength to strength. For anyone listening who is kind of feels really nervous about perhaps signing up to come to one of your Real Writers events, what would you say to them, Victoria?
I would encourage them to sign up, mm-hmm. come along. If you're shy, you are very welcome. We are a very warm, inclusive, open group with a variety of writers. You don't need to be anything or be anyone. You just need to be willing to participate, and that's to the extent to which you wish to participate. So you would be very welcome to come along. We'd love to have you.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for your support. You have chosen the next song, Better Together, by Jack Johnson. Can you tell us why you chose this?
Well, in the circle, we believe that we're better together always, and that just is how it feels. And I think that was a lovely question about if you're shy, and it was a lovely answer as to why to come. We don't look up, we don't look down, we look around. You know, you've seen the breadth. We've got so many different types that could attend, but we are always, always better together.
Are listening to the Brighton Book Club on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on April the 27th from the Radio Reverb studio as part of the Reverbathon. Reverbathon is our annual fundraiser to keep Radio Reverb on air and ad-free, and it keeps me rabbiting on about books in Brighton and beyond. You can support us by donating at radioreverb.com. Just find the Brighton Book Club page. Every penny helps keep us on the radio, speaking to great writers and creatives across the city. If you are a great writer or creative across the city, or have something that you would like to talk about, you can pitch to the show to be a guest at btnbookclub@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at btnbookclub. If you want to listen to the 5 years archive worth of Brighton Book Club episodes, you can do so on the Radio Reverb website and from wherever you download your podcasts. Next month's show is a very special Brighton Book Festival takeover. So for now, I will leave you with one of my all-time favourite songs from Robin, Happy Reverbathon.